And of course, whenever some other news takes place, we'll let you know about it. In fact, before we get to both coordinators, big stuff for the softball team, which last year, after Jess Moore, who was the pitching coach, took an opportunity over in Europe, it was a threadbare staff. Now, granted, Ken Erickson and Tommy Santiago, they know a lot, but something we didn't talk about a lot last season, he had different players as his first base coach and really did not have a pitching coach. Well, that has all changed with now hired and announced yesterday, Carla Claudio Rivera as an assistant coach for the Bulls. She was a pitcher and really some amazing numbers, not just at USF, but at her previous stop in junior college, but also with the national team of Puerto Rico. As Coach Erickson says on GoUSFBulls.com, says her experience not only in the circle for USF, but also for Puerto Rico, which has included playing in a lot of Olympic-level competitions since 2011, is going to lend itself with great expertise for our pitching staff. She was a big-time two-way player. Her numbers at Santa Fe College, and admittedly, I didn't know any of this until I read the story on GoUSFBulls.com. She ended up with 32 wins, as far as a pitcher goes, and 28 home runs in 2 years, and a program record 70 walks. Now, remember, Santa Fe College is a JUCO where 2 years is usually the run for somebody. So, batting average of .432, 28 home runs, and 32 wins. The crazy thing, in one season, her senior season, when she was a first-team All-American Athletic Conference performer, in conference play, she led in both saves with 7 and RBI with 16. That is a tough double play to pull off there. Carla was a two-way player for us who could hit for power, and her ability to spin the ball was an asset. Coach Erickson still raving more about being able to add an actual pitching coach back to the roster in Coach Carla Rivera. So we'll look forward to seeing her on campus, and we'll interview her for this show. You know I'll be doing that. You know that there's a lot going on a week getting ready for the game. Wednesday is the day that both coordinators for the Bulls are made available to the media. It'll start off with Glenn Spencer. One thing that caught the Bulls, of course, against the Florida Gators were the big plays. And part of that, some plays that could have been small plays turning into big plays due to lack of tackling. That's something that you could tell the D coordinators honing in on.
Well, you know, a lot of factors go into the big plays. Some of it's pass rush, some of it's missed tackles, and some of it's coverage technique. So there's a lot of reasons for those big plays. You know, in every one of them, there's reasons. There's things that can be corrected. What you don't like is a coach just, if you're there for a 50-50 ball and they're just out athleting you and, you're there to compete, that's good. You don't like the missed tackles when you have one-on-one opportunity to tackle. That's frustrating because sometimes people are making tackles come off the block. Now, if you're free, it's your job. You got to get them down. And then pursuit angles off the backside to keep a missed tackle becoming a 70, 80-yard run. Most definitely, we've got to get that right. We've got to limit the explosive plays. Usually comes down to tackling or some technique issues. Point of emphasis, keep stressing it, right? And just demanding excellence out of it. And you're hoping, week by week, it's a different life. And you're hoping the next week, we show some improvement there.
One good strand of the Zoom call was about, tackling, as you just heard him mention, and trying to ease up on it in practices so that players don't get hurt. And he was asked, is kind of practicing tackling properly, but also doing it safely, nowadays just an oxymoron?
Oh, it is now. Especially when we have, three or four guys out on the back end, kids that should be playing a lot of ball for us right now. So now you go to backups, and now one of those backups happens. You need to show up at the game healthy and ready to go. I know that much. I battle with that every day. We do have a tackling circuit. We work angle tackle. We work open field tackle. We work meet and defeat a block tackle. We get a goal line. Now, I don't know what the answer is, because sure enough, the shoulder pops out there, or somebody gets torqued the wrong way. But it's a delicate balance. But I do know one thing, we got to do it better. The only way I know how to do it is to keep drilling it, emphasizing it. And it doesn't matter. Nobody really cares who's out. Nobody cares. At the end of the day, your name's on it, their name's on it, our name's on it. At the end of the day, whoever those 11 are out there, expect to perform. So that's the life, the world that we're living in right now.
And you can tell that maybe it's not the favorite part of the world that we're living in now as far as football and contact goes. There have been injuries, Christian Williams and Mekhi Lapointe in actual games, Will Jones before the season even started. And so you've got some guys, he actually dropped some hints to me for our pregame interview, some players being moved around, some guys that are maybe from a different position are going to have to play in the secondary. But in general, if the light switch wasn't on already for some individuals that you're going to have to produce, it has changed this week.
That's what we try to tell these guys. You always got to be ready. You know, you're sitting there and you're in spring ball or fall camp and think you're a backup and think, all right, I might get some mop up reps. You know, I better. No, you better be ready to play that week. And you tell them as a coach, it never really hits home. But boy, you know, these last 2 weeks, it has hit home in my room. And those guys are like, whoa, all of a sudden, I got to get it done. And it doesn't matter again. Nobody wants an excuse. They just want somebody out there to get it done. So it's been a wake-up call for a lot of them. The few that are left, it's a wake-up call. You better have your A-game ready to call. There's a lot of people in that room that are counting on them. I think because of that, the intensity of the preparation, some of those guys just thought they were backups and now they're not, is a lot higher. I mean, that really showed up, you know, from a couple of things that happened last week and this week's practice. You know, we had to pull some more guys up and sudden the older guys that are in the room were going, hey kid, you know, you're not a scout team guy anymore. You know, whether you thought you were ready or not, your role is to help us win, like now, not week 10, week 11, like now, week 3. It's left to be seen, you know, if that light's come on. We're stressing it, working it, but you never know how those guys are going to react in a game type atmosphere and a game type situation. We're just giving them reps and working them hard, and you know, they're watching tape. And they're, mentally, I think they're ready. At least they think they are. We just have to find out.
Incidentally, when you heard him mention the room, he's talking about the safety room because he has taken on those roles. He was the linebackers coach last year along with being the DC, but Ernie Sims is handling that group. He spoke about the Florida A&M Rattlers. We'll hold off on those comments until tomorrow's show, which will feature more on the opponent. Same goes for Charlie Weiss on the offensive side. Short story, both of those guys have a lot of respect for the opponent that's coming in, and we'll again talk more about the Rattlers tomorrow. As far as Charlie Weiss, one area of play that has been very impressive for the Bulls, the offensive line.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of things to clean up, but we've seen a lot of good moments watching the tape. I think we have a lot of confidence in our offensive line. Obviously, we got to do a little bit more to show that in the game and how we play. But I think there's a lot of encouraging things that we're seeing from that group as they continue to mesh and continue to work together. We got to limit the amount of TFLs that we have. And that's not only on that group too, that's quarterback decision-making and that's running backs too, making sure they're hitting the right spots. So we got to clean that up a little bit. Pass protection, I think we're only at one sack on the season so far, which is certainly a good thing, is progress. First sack of the game was on a quick game pass too. So I think there's a lot of encouraging things, plenty of things to clean up. The biggest things, we got to eliminate the negative plays. And continue to build on those positive plays and make those plays continue to go.
One thing I appreciate about Coach Weiss, if you're talking about an area of the team that's not going so well, he's not even going to give you a funny look. He'll go right into it and is not afraid. In this area, one thing that's popped up for a couple times now with the Bulls, and Timmy McClain has been the quarterback all of the examples, and that is mishandled snaps and or poor snaps. He got into that area of things with Joey Johnson. Remember, the Bulls were driving in on McClain's first drive against NC State. It got derailed by a poor snap, and it happened twice, including down in close against the Gators when the Bulls ended up having to settle for a field goal.
It's going to be a huge gain. So we're running a four vertical concept out of empty with three receivers into the boundary. And they, you know, going, it was a tempo call after hitting that deep post right there. So they were all kind of out of sorts, getting lined up and, you know, Xavier did a great job of staying, you know, right outside the hash like we coached him to do, and the middle field safety was cheated to the field. If it wasn't a touchdown, we'd have the ball on about the 15 to the 10-yard line right there going in, and it would have given us a lot of momentum in the game. So it's just, you got to show the players that, hey, it's just the little tiny details of everything that we do, can be the difference. We end up, don't get a first down after that right there. It goes to like second and 13, and then we end up punting right there. So definitely disappointed not to execute that, but it would have been a huge play.
Anything on the execution of the, I think it was two bad snaps that you saw. Was it Timmy? Was it the center, or just, bad timing, or what happened?
It's a combination of both. Timmy was actually kind of the snap was hot at him right there. He certainly could have caught it just a little bit to his right there. But, you know, as quarterback, we got to catch it. And as the center, we got to give the quarterback a good snap right there. So I think, you know, Brad was probably just a little twitched up being on the 1 yard line right there. So just got to do a better job on that. We've gone out and practiced this week and had no snap issues. We go out, we do our quarterback center exchange to start every single practice. And then we do it at the end of practice as well now, just to make sure that nothing like that happens again. And then the second snap, I was just a little bit low. And, you know, that one's probably a little bit more on Brad, but Timmy could have caught that one as well. Just been a little bit low into his left right there.
And of course, he's not going to tell you game plan before the fact, but it was good to hear kind of how they had planned for things against the Florida Gators and how third and longs and why third and longs when they presented themselves were a problem for the Bulls offense.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was one of the major keys to the game when we were having our Friday night meeting with our players. So Florida's defense coordinator, Todd Grantham, he does a great job on third down of being very exotic, which if you watch the tape, I'm sure you saw that. So, you know, our game plan was we were going to go tempo anytime it was, you know, third and 1-6 right there, trying to, you know, number one, we're hammering our players to stay ahead of the sticks on first and second down, you know, which is where they're much more simple. You know, we execute on first, second down, get us into third manageable situations, we'll be able to pick up the first down. You get into the third long, there's a lot more protection problems, getting IDs a certain way and all that stuff right there. So when we were able to stay on track and stay on schedule early in the game, we were having some success on third down. But when we were getting to third and longer, we didn't. And it certainly calls that we could have given the players a better spot right there too. But yes, it was definitely much harder when we got to the third and long situations. Kind of that was the kind of our game plan going in, is stay in those third and shorts where we can go tempo, get a quick call in and execute. And Kay did a great job. And then third longers, we still got to execute and do a little bit better job, but definitely a harder situation to convert.
I know you're wondering what he said about quarterback. Very, very non-specific. He essentially said the snaps have been 50-50, so they're not going to announce anything probably until Saturday. There is a scheduled Zoom call with Jeff Scott today, and of course, if he makes an announcement, check out my Twitter page, at Derek Sharp. I'll put it right out. We'll be in tuned to that. It's around 11:30. At least that's the schedule for Thursday. Schedule for tonight, 7 o'clock, women's soccer against East Carolina. We'll preview it for you, and my conversations with two members of the volleyball team, two freshmen who are having outstanding starts, specifically Tizzy Puriz, along with Amanda DeWitt. Stay tuned.